welcome to this Sunday morning meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Paul Abel.
Really careful about what kind of language you mean. Not in the way you perhaps think. Because Matt's right, sometimes if we talk about religion, it'll put up barriers. If we use Christianese, it'll put up barriers. You know, we have to try and speak the gospel in contemporary language. The New Testament is written in Aramaic. Okay, or Jesus spoke Aramaic, rather it's written in Greek. Aramaic was a very common, ordinary tongue. The Greek that the New Testament written in, for years, many, many years, scholars thought it was some kind of very special, anointed, spiritual language, because it was different to the ordinary, how you find it written down. What they found out was, it wasn't so much that it was special, it was actually common. It was routine, Daily Mail, Daily Express, The Sun type English. Not English, but you know what I mean. Yeah? And that's how God doesn't want highfalutin words. When the King James Bible was written down, it was a revolution, because they wrote the Bible in the everyday language of the people. And it called, well, you know, people have been persecuted, people have been burnt at the stake for doing such a heinous task as putting the Word of God in a language that people could understand. And that's what we're challenged with today. I mean, we're very blessed. We've got all kinds of editions of Bibles and things, but I'm not so much talking about that as us being able to express ourselves in people's language. Now, well, we'll just do it. We'll get led by the Holy Spirit, and we'll find out how to do it, and we'll go for it. Now, last week, I said to you, I gave you the whole thing from Joshua. Let's just have a quick look in Joshua, and then we'll go into what I said were these two scriptures that God is giving for us as a church at this time. Okay? So if you don't write anything else down today, or take anything else home with you, take the two scriptures that I'm going to give you later on. Not the Joshua one, although that is important. But these two, I think, are going to be very key. But we'll come to them in a minute. Okay. So, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun. And I believe this is God speaking to us now. In the death of Moses and the rising up of Joshua, there's a new season. Okay? In what God is doing amongst us as a people, and the change of leadership that has happened, there is a new season. Nobody is saying poor leadership has gone before. If you look here, Moses was the greater leader to Joshua. Okay? God was speaking to David this morning from 1 Chronicles 22. Is that right? 22? And it was talking about how David prepared everything, and then he said to Solomon, everything is now ready to build the house of the Lord. And it's that kind of change of season. Again, David is the greater man of God, really, than Solomon. So it's no, we don't need to think, oh, we're moving into a greater anointing of leadership. We're not interested in anything like that. We're not doing any comparisons in any way whatsoever. What we know as a people is this is a new season in God. We're doing something that's different, and there's a call upon us to build the house of the Lord. Okay, now don't get spiritual on me and quote me afterwards that it says, Jesus says, I will build my church, okay? We're just using the language of 1 Chronicles 22, which is build the house of the Lord, which is actually build up the people of God, build up, encourage, and motivate. And that's what we'll do together. As we do that together with each other, it will make this place attractive to others. And when I talk of this place, I mean these people. Where we are doesn't matter. Okay, this house is blessed. But more blessed are the people that reside in it and come to it and are part of it. Okay, and whatever God does here, we could take anywhere we wanted to, because it's us and the anointing that's on us. Do you not know that you yourselves are God's temple and that His Spirit lays within you? When Pastor Colin prayed me out on that Sunday, or prayed us out on that Sunday, he said, remove the obstacles from my people and I will send a move of my Spirit. Okay, now here's a challenge for some of us. In some ways, Lamplugh can be one of those obstacles. Okay? It's an obstacle to what God wants to do. You think, how can it be? It's such a fantastic place. I've just been talking about using this house. Everything about that is true. But let's just investigate and understand what God is also saying is, how could this house be an obstacle? One way, it's not big enough. There's a good way. Okay? So God wants to use His people as the house of God. Anyway, Joshua, back to him. Because that was a bit of a sidetrack there. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. Okay? We're going to keep claiming that one. Shall we keep claiming that one?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, give me lots of response. I'm much better then. Yeah, if you don't want to be bored and fall asleep, you know, give me lots of response back and I'll get a bit of bounce and a bit of energy and you'll all be much happier and I'll be happier but tighter. Anyway. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. This is a promise for us now. God will not leave us. God has not forsaken us. In fact, it's the very, very opposite. We're going into something new. We're taking hold of the promises God has spoken over this place way, 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 way back. Maybe even back to Thomas Lamplugh's time when he was, you know, Bishop of York. You know, I don't know what promises God made over his life. Maybe there were some. We'll have them as well. Yeah, you know, years and years and years ago, around in this area, the monks of this area were planting these fields around us and sowing the wheat and the corn. Okay, but they were also sowing in prayer for a move of God in this area. Oh, let's reap all those prayers as well. Let's reap the prayers of saints of thousands of years that have gone before us, nearly 2,000 years worth of prayers, and we're here just to reap it all. We are such a blessed people. This is such a time. When we actually grasp hold of it, your mind begins to go, this can't possibly be true, I can't possibly... But it is! This is the time. Ask anybody here who's hearing the Lord and you've all been sensing something's going to happen. Well, let me tell you, something is happening. Alright? We saw a touch of that, just a tiny, tiny glimpse of that, didn't we, on Thursday night? If you were here, God came. God turned up. God began to speak. Hallelujah. Some of you got particularly impacted by God. Didn't they, David, as well? Okay. Hallelujah. And there were others, not just those two, I promise you. Be strong and of good courage, he says to Joshua, because just because they're taking hold of the promised land doesn't mean it's just going to be Disneyland. It's not just going to be a fun ride on a roller coaster. I expect there to be fun, I expect there to be adventure. But also they had to fight battles, they had to take towns, they had to look like idiots walking around Jericho for 7 days until they blew trumpets. I mean, what kind of things might God ask us to do that are going to look a little... What are we doing this for? You know? How must the people of God behind Joshua been thinking, well, we did say we would do anything he said, but we didn't know it would involve this. Okay? And you're probably going to feel like that because most of you sitting here last week said, yeah, we're with you. And there'll come a point when you're thinking, yes, but we didn't know it meant this. Yeah, God's sneaky like that. Right. Only be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Don't turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. That's what God wants us to do, to prosper. Amen? You know, yesterday, this is an anecdotal story that really has got no, you know, strong scriptural basis, and you could criticize me on it no end, okay? But I just want to share with you, I see God's favor upon us. You know, and yesterday morning when I woke up, I could hear the rain pouring outside my bed, and you heard it too. We didn't speak to one another, but we both, unknowing to each other, were lying there thinking, oh God, make it a good day. I want Mum and Dad to see Yorkshire's not just wet. You know? And so we headed out to Scarborough in faith, and I don't know about you, but it was a glorious day yesterday. That was not what was forecast. It was forecast another day like the day before. But it was a glorious sunny day, wasn't it? It's just the favour of God. You know, the favour of God in getting this house is... I'm blown away by it, I really am. The favour of God, you know? And silly little... Now, this is skating on thin ice with some of you, I'm sure. But as it was getting towards evening, we thought, let's go and get a drink. And we went to a pub. But, listen to how God sorted this bit. Okay, we drove and we parked down by the... what's it called? Sea Life Centre, yeah. Because it's free parking after 6 o'clock. And we went to that Scorby Mills pub. And as we drove past, there was a queue out of the door, and it was packed. Anyway, we parked in the Sea Life Centre, walked back down, walked up to the... I don't know if we did walk like that. We'd probably look a bit silly. <with you>. But, it's only me walking like that. Got a lot of stairs. Anyway, and as we walked up to the pub, a whole family got up from one of the benches right there in the sunshine. So we sat down. There was all these empties. less than a minute we'd been sitting there, the barman appeared and took away all the empties. So it was a nice clean table. And then my dad and I sort of said, well, what do we want? We sort of have a, we walked in, and as we walked through the door, the lady behind the bar said, can I help you? There was no queue. Not only that, there was sort of, can I help you? Yeah, didn't even have time to look what was on. And then we just came back out, we just sat there in the sun, and if you know it, it's a lovely spot, isn't it? And we were just blessed. And I just thought, this, and it was just that stunning evening, and the sun was there, and I thought, God, this is so much favour. And while we were sitting there, and I was supping on my real ale, and the Lord spoke to me, I was drinking alcohol. I haven't been drinking this morning. Paul encouraged him to take his wine in moderation, didn't he? It's about not getting drunk, but that's a complete side issue. And anyway, as I was stopping, and he just said, look, but Paul, this is the favour I've got upon you for everything. You know? As we were driving into Old Town on Thursday night, wasn't it? Thursday night. I don't know, it's been a long week. We seem to have packed about 3 weeks into one here. But as we were driving into the Old Town, you know, I was thinking, God will give us a parking space opposite Martin and Claire's. This is Old Town, you know what that's like. But I chickened out down along Westgate because there was a space fairly near. We got there, there's a space opposite, wasn't there? Just to rub it in from God, it was still empty when we came out. Which was about 3 hours later. And to rub it in even further, I don't know if you knew this, as we walked the corner into Long Westgate, somebody parked in it. And it was God just saying, expect my favour. It's not just upon us as a family, it's upon us as a family. Yeah. Amen? Why is God doing it? Not because we're special. Because we're his children, yes. Because he thinks of us as special. But because he also wants to do something here in Yorkshire. Amen. And he's chosen us bunch. Makes you question the wisdom of God, doesn't it? But he's chosen us bunch to do it. We can't do it in ourselves, but God will do it through us. You know, you only need one ability to serve God. It's not wisdom, it's not intelligence, it's not the ability to play bass guitar or drums or keyboard. It's just one ability that you need. That's availability. Yes. If you make yourself available, God will use you, and in this time you're going to see fruit. Yeah. Amen? We will see fruit as we step forward. But sometimes, maybe all the time, I don't know, we will have to be strong and very courageous. We will find ourselves having to do things that are uncomfortable. Not quite the way we've used it. Now, don't worry, I'm not going to, you know, paint this house black and have strange dance music playing or something when you turn up on a Sunday. I'm not talking about that kind of strange. I'm just talking about the way God speaks to us. Might find ourselves moving out of our comfort zone. Yeah? Moving from the south to the north was for me a big moving out of my comfort zone. You know, I didn't know this area at all. Before we moved here last week, I'd spent 6 hours in Scarborough. That was it. On a very wet, very raining day, where we wore sunglasses to stop our eyes hurting because the rain was so horizontal. We literally could not see Scarborough because it was like, oh. So we had sunglasses in our pocket because we'd left sunshine and put in the south and put our sunglasses on, and it was, we were able to see. We needed little. Anyway, oh, I think I'll have it a bit more like that now. Anyway, so be strong and courageous. And the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but meditate upon it day and night. Let's really get into the word. Let's really spend our time with God. Yeah, I know we all miss our daily times with God sometimes, maybe all the times. But let's make a determination. We're going to get back to this. Yeah, come on. We're going to get back into the word of God. Why? Then you will be prosperous and successful. Anyone here want to be successful? Do you want to be successful? Do you want to be blessed?
Yes.
Well, let's get into the word of God. I'm just picking you there because you look beautiful, okay? Now, moving swiftly over, let me find... I haven't used this Bible for ages. I just I wanted the New King James Version because I love the way one of the verses sounds in here this morning. So I dug it out, poor thing. Look, it's looking a bit tatty. Let's go to one of the first scriptures then, which is Proverbs 18, verse 10. Okay? And it was made popular by a song. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. Yeah. The righteous run into it and are safe. Or saved, as it used to say in the song, which is basically the same meaning. The name of the Lord. Yes. And did you do the arch? Yeah. Yeah, and you capture the people in the arch and they were the ones saved. Yeah, yeah, we all did it. Almost totally ruined the scripture. Although we had fun doing it at the time. And you never know, we might do it again one day. Start praying now if you don't want to. That wasn't the kind of way I was thinking of making you uncomfortable. In fact, I'm not thinking of making you uncomfortable. I want to make it as nice and as easy for you as possible. The Lord will do that bit. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are saved. Now, when we were coming up here, when we were in Scarborough, the Lord really began to speak to us because of the castle on the hill. Now, Scarborough, which I'm sure you all know because you've all been here a lot longer than me, so forgive me, means Scar's stronghold. Scar was some Viking character that sailed over roughly 1,000 years ago or so, landed on the coast up here and thought, right, I want to dominate this area. I want to have influence over this area. And he chose a good spot where he could spy over the land and defend well. Well, he chose the mount. He didn't build the castle, obviously. That came a bit later. But he chose that point. And still today, because of the castle on it, it's a totally obvious point there in Scarborough. I know you can go up Oliver's Mount, but still really the castle signifies something. And you see, I think that castle is going to come to mean more and more to us. Because every time we see that castle, it's going to remind us that we have dominion over Scarborough. And we're not there to sort of say, we're here, like Scar probably did, and killed all the locals off. Well, maybe we are, Steve, okay. It's more of a, we're here to influence this whole town. Yeah. Yeah. Amen? We want to have influence in amongst the council. We want to have influence in amongst the businesses in there. Because as we have influence, we can get the word of God out there and change it. Yeah. Yeah, I'm not talking about having influence so that we can be like Scar, mighty Scar on his little mount. Okay? Because actually, it's not Scarborough anymore, borough meaning stronghold, it's Lordborough. It's the Lord's stronghold. That town belongs to Jesus Christ, and we are in the time and season to see that happen. How's that going to happen? I don't exactly know. Where is the building that we can meet there in Scarborough? I don't exactly know. Okay? That's the next project. But as God sold a house and bought us a house in a week, I'm not too worried about it. You know, God can do anything for us all, can't he? And he's going to do that one and have us just in the right place for the next bit of what we're going to be doing. All I do know is it probably needs to be bigger than we think. Yeah? Oh, I think so. Now, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are saved or safe. Then people are made righteous by the blood of Jesus. Yep, so I see our church as a place where people are safe. Where people are safe from the world. Saved from the world, if you want to use the more... finding healing and salvation. I mean, it's a place where it's like this church is to be a mighty watchtower in the north. Yeah? It's like it's on that headland, standing up tall and strong as a beacon. Not just a beacon to warn people that they're going the wrong way, but a beacon to say, this is the way, this is the light, come and walk in it. Yeah? We'll have to have posters or things like that with the castle in the background, because everybody will recognise it and we'll know the spiritual meaning of it as well. There'll be a way we can talk to people. Why do you have that? It's a symbol of Scarborough, isn't it, really? So it'd be great. We'll have it for us. Yeah? We see too many Christian symbols stolen and used the other way around, so we'll take one of theirs. And then it doesn't matter what it is. It's part of God's creation. He made the stones and stuff that man used to build it. So he built it, really. So anyway... The righteous run into it and are saved. Saved from destruction. Saved from suicide. Saved from torment. Saved from sickness. Saved from ill health. Saved from a destructive lifestyle. Saved from gambling debt. Saved from broken families. Saved from sexual misadventures. Saved from going their own way. Saved from themselves. But they're going to be saved. Amen. As are we saved every day from our own selves. It's a place of safety. But not just safe from, but safe to. Okay, saved from all those things and saved to a new life in Jesus. Saved to health, saved to prosperity, saved to blessing. Saved to a life in Jesus Christ that they could only dream of. Saved to seeing God meet their every need. Saved to knowing there is a loving Saviour up there who's looking down saying, I love you and I want you to spend forever with me beginning with today. There's so many people out there, they just don't know that. They've been turned off by this idea that religion causes war. Richard Dawkins, if you've heard of him, you know, the God Delusion book. He's out there proclaiming, not a gospel, because that's good news, but the bad news that God and religion, well, God doesn't exist, but it's something invented by man, according to Richard Dawkins, but that it's the source of all evil, basically. That's his belief. And that's what he promulgates in in his book. That's his kind of, and people are, some people are beginning, because it's already out there, are absorbing some of that. But in the midst of that, there is a people who are hungry for God. You know, when you walk past a shop and it's full of pagan symbols and spiritual stuff, don't think, oh, that's awful. Think, praise God, there's people in this area who are searching for a spirituality. And we've got it. Yeah, who was it that was talking to me about the guys that went, the Christians that went to a psychic fair? It was you. Oh, beg your pardon. I've talked to a lot of people this week. I know somebody had. And these Christians set up this booth in a psychic fair, and what they did was the people came through, they prophesied over them and gave them the word of the Lord, and they had a queue. Because people were seeking something that was real. And they were saying, why is there such peace here? Now you would think, wouldn't you, that things would be stirred up. But actually we take peace. We take light. We take joy. And so we don't need to be afraid. In fact, we can be excited when people are seeking. They've just got it wrong at the moment. We'll cut down the Asherah poles. Yeah? By rooting out the untruth, if you like, in people's lives. How do we do that? By speaking the truth to them. By sharing the life with them. Remember I said last week, I dare to dream of a church where the love of God is such that people know we are Christians. Yes. It's in here, but let's see it. We'll grow in it, we'll learn it. I'm sure, I know by the way we've been received, this, you know, it's here, but who's up for God doing it even more and more in us? Yeah. So that this is such a place of restoration and renewal and revival in God, you know? So this is the word. Take this word. Pray over it. You know? The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are saved. Write it down tonight. Pray over it. See what God says to you about it. I expected to bring it out a little bit more on Thursday and it just didn't happen. You know, God had other plans. What's going to happen this Thursday? I don't really know. I know God wants to meet with us. There'll be a God encounter. That's what it's called. So that's what we're going to expect. I kind of feel there might be healing, but let's see. So if you know people who need healing, you can bring them. Now, normally that meeting is the church seeking God together, but maybe there'll be some people that come as well who you think can cope with our higher ways of worship. And because as I was saying, that we're going to focus on Sunday mornings, especially as we go on, being a really welcoming place for those who are not saved, where they can encounter God. Where we can bring people we know who don't know God, and I'm going to get freaked out by some of the weird things we do. The weird and correct things that we do, but sometimes people just need a bit of time to learn that actually, oh, that's okay. You're not off your head. Yeah? We do that, so we'll do a lot more of that on Thursday night. We obviously got you, Claire. Okay, the other one. And this is a cool one. I love this because it's especially cool standing here and you sitting here in Lamplugh House this morning. And, whoa. Mark 2, verse 1. And it's the second half of the verse. And if you've got this is where you need the King James, the New King James. It doesn't sound quite so good in the NIV. But it says, and it was heard that he was in the house. Amen. And it was heard, and it's talking about Jesus. So, and it was heard that Jesus was in the house. Now this, as you grab hold of this scripture, this is exciting. This is what God is saying is going to go out round there, be whispered in the villages, be whispered in the towns. It was heard that Jesus was in the house. And it's going to draw people to find out what does that mean. It's going to draw people who have got great need. That might be some of the cost we're talking about. It's going to draw people that need healing. It's going to draw people who are seeking God. And it was heard that Jesus was in the house. I don't think it just refers to Lamplugh House. It refers to the house of God. But this word is going to go out and it's going to bring people in. I don't really need to preach about it very much, do I? You've already got it. I can see it on your faces. Take it home and pray about it. This is exciting. This is a prophetic word to us right now. It was heard that Jesus was in the house. This was talking about when... this was... they obviously heard. this was Capernaum. You know, Capernaum is not a big place, but the crowds were drawn. You can still go to Capernaum today. I don't know if any of you have been there. It's right on the edge of Lake Galilee. There's a big Catholic church built over where they think Peter's house was, where Jesus would have done. And it's a tiny, tiny, tiny place. But something big in God happened. So thwing, I love that word, thwing. Are there any other words in the English language or places that start THW? The only one I can come up with is thwack, but that's not really a word. Someone will be getting the dictionary out later and showing me that there's 22, but you know, none immediately occur to mind. Thwing. Here in Thwing, it may be a small place, but it will be heard that Jesus is in the house. Yeah. Yeah. It's not a hard thing to believe, it's happened before. Yeah. Yeah. But what's going to be different with what happens this time is it's not a ministry here any longer, but we're launching now. I know it's been called Kingdom Faith Yorkshire or Kingdom Faith Church Yorkshire before, but now we're launching into the fullness of what God has said about being a church. Okay, so people won't just come to a ministry, they'll come to a church and God builds. That's right, God builds his church. I'm glad they're excited about it. He's absolutely right, it's what we should be doing. Okay, I'll give you the little bit again and you can do it too. And you can't just do it sitting down. Are you ready? No, don't stand up yet. It's going to have to be spontaneous. And it was heard that Jesus was in the house. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Glory to God. A bit more? Yeah! Thank you, Lord! Thank you, Jesus! Oh, man, you are wonderful! Thank you, Lord! Thank you, Jesus! Hallelujah! And you know, it's already happening. Yeah. Didn't you go home, Thursday particularly, and start saying, I met with Jesus, where? In the house! Amen! You can sit down. I don't know if I'm going to speak much more. It's gone 12 and we need to finish. But just to say, Capernaum was this tiny place, and again, he entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house.
Yes.
Verse 2, immediately, many gathered together. Many. Yes. Amen. Yes. Immediately, many gathered together. All right, this bit. Are you ready for this? So that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. Yes. Amen. Yes. This is what we want to see. In the house of God, whether it's Lamplugh House or us as a people, wherever we are, we don't want there to be any room. People are going to have to be listening in at the door to find out what's happening and what God's doing. And he preached the word to them. That's what we will be. We will be a church that preaches the word of God and nothing other than the word of God. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And then, of course, that's when they came to him, opened up the roof because it was the only way in, and dropped the paralytic through. Oh dear, Peter's looking a bit pale. No, I'm not going to touch the roof of my house. No, he's not really thinking that, but it would be funnier that way. Okay. They only had mud and straw roofs. It was a lot easier. They can just come through the patio doors. It wouldn't look so good in the gospel, would it, though? And they carried the paralytic through the patio doors and laid them at Jesus' feet. But if Jesus is in the house, we're going to see miracles.
Yes.
Amen? And we'll keep in there until we see them. Yes. Time after time after time after time after time. Miracles of healing, miracles of provision.
Yes.
And then miracles of restoration in lives.
Yes.
Amen? Hallelujah. Then it says, but some of the scribes, I said I was stopping, but I haven't, so tough. But some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts. Now, don't go away and start reasoning. Don't start trying to think it all through. Oh, dear, blah, 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 that. How can you say that's that? When Mark wrote that down, he didn't know about Lamplu. No, but the Holy Spirit did. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Why does this man of God speak blasphemies like this? You know, the religious spirit began to rise up, you know what I mean. Anyway, the religious spirit within them began to rise up, as it does in all of us when something is not quite what we were expecting. Let's be on our guard. It will happen to us, all of us. I'm including me here. Yeah, it will happen. And recognize when it happens, I'm being a scribe. This is Jesus is in the house. That's why it's a bit upset. You know, can you imagine what it was like in these little muddy huts with so many people crammed in and people digging the roof out? You know? It must have been a bit chaotic. Bits of straw falling into Jesus' hair and then this person appearing on a stretcher in front of him. I mean, it's such an ordinary story that we've heard so many times, but it must have been so out of everybody's box. Yeah. You know? It'd be just the same as if it happened now in front of me. You'd be surprised, wouldn't you? You would. Even if four people come through the patio doors, you know, an ambulance drove up here and chucked somebody out and said, heal them. You'd be surprised. Well, that's what it was like. Maybe you wouldn't be surprised now. Maybe you're waiting for the sound of the siren. Okay, I'm nearly finished. Honest, I said that before, but this time you can believe me. Immediately, Jesus perceived in his spirit that they were reasoning. Why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or rise, take up your bed and walk? But so that you may know, not just reason, but know, that the Son of Man has power on the earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go your way to your house. We won't see healings just because God wants to heal us, because he does want to heal us, but also we'll see things which speak to people. There'll be stories that people take back. This is what happened to me. Let's not be afraid of that happening. Let's not be afraid of telling people what we see happening. Yeah, Jesus is talking it up here. He's saying, well, so that you know I can't just forgive sins, I'll show you this guy getting up. It was a showy miracle. And sometimes we shy away from the idea that God would do something like that. In the right place, at the right time, he does it. It was a showy miracle. This guy in the front of every single person there, he's already been forgiven. He's already got his eternal salvation, presumably, from that, if he's a believing guy. He then heals him in front of everybody and says, this is so that you know I have authority to forgive sins. He knew he had authority. He didn't have to prove anything. Most of the people there, ones crowded in the house, probably already were believing that. He did it just for the few religious ones. Big showy miracle in front of everybody. Anyway, I say, and immediately he arose, took up bed, and went out in the presence of them all, and they were amazed and glorified God and said, we never saw anything like this. I wonder when's the first time we're going to hear people walking out of this house or walking out of wherever we're meeting saying, we never saw anything like this. You be ready for it. Yes. And when you hear it, remember this Sunday. And you thought, yeah, that's what God said was going to happen. We never saw anything like this. You're going to hear those words on people's lips because Jesus is in the house.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
Jesus is in the house! Yes. Jesus! Hallelujah! Thank you, Lord! Thank you, Jesus! Amen! Excited?
Yes.
I am.
Yes.
It's good. Okay.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.